Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 19 this morning, Genesis chapter 19. We're going to read one verse, and that's verse 30 in Genesis 19. And our custom is when we read one verse, I'll read through the first time aloud, you'll read through silently, and then we'll read together in unison verse 30. That's Genesis 19, verse 30. Please stand to your feet in honor of the Word of God. If you're capable and able to this morning, we would appreciate that. So we honor the Word of God as we read it this morning. Genesis chapter 19, verse 30. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar. And he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. Let's read it together now, please. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar. And he dwelt in the cave, he and his two daughters. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the opportunity to have the health and the ability to be here today to hear the Word of God preached. God, honor thy word. Help us. We're needy people today, and we need to hear from you today. Father, please bless our pastor. Anoint him with thy Holy Spirit's power and clarity, and give him just the words that you want him to have today to help us. Please. And Father, as he's mentioned already, as pastor's mentioned as he prayed, if there's somebody here today that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray before they leave this room, they would settle it. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, we want you to make sure that your cell phone is turned off or to vibrate. If it goes off in the service, we will count the number of rings, and that will be the number of plagues of Egypt that will be brought upon you in your life. So help us there, please, and help us. We would appreciate it. The subject this morning is discouragement. Discouragement. You ever been discouraged? Do you understand that discouragement is something that God does not bring to our lives or use in our lives? Seven times the word discouragement is used in the Bible. Every time it's used, it's brought in the scripture or used in the scripture because somebody is discouraging someone else. Five of the seven times it mentions how the children of Israel were discouraged after the spies returned from Canaan. 12 spies went into Canaan. They looked the land over, which God told them to do, by the way. They came back and had a good report, but then they had, 10 of them had this report of giants in the land and how that they couldn't take it, and the report of the 10 negative spies discouraged the hearts of the children of Israel. When you talk about discouragement in our lives today, it's important for us to understand it's not part of God's program. He doesn't bring discouragement into your life. In reality, we get discouraged because, well, we're going to talk to you about the reasons for discouragement this morning, but we get discouraged. Discouragement is a step we take in our lives because of the things that we face. You say, well, then it's not our fault that we're discouraged. But now listen, if there's nothing in the scripture that shows us that God uses discouragement as a test or a trial or something in our lives, then it's a step we take without the grace and the help of God. So if we understand discouragement properly in the Bible, discouragement is a result of me being pushed to the limit on some things in my life, but the line that I cross to discouragement is a step I take on my own. Say, well, then you've never been discouraged, Pastor Johnson. Oh, no, that's not true. There are things that cause discouragement. There are reasons that come about. We read this morning about Lot in a cave in Zoar outside of Sodom and Gomorrah. The discouragement we're going to talk about today, the subject of the title of the message, is caves of discouragement. We're going to look at three people, and all three of these people are in a cave, and they're discouraged. So then we're going to talk about the caves of discouragement. Now listen, why they're there and what happens when they're there, we'll show you the causes of discouragement. And then, of course, the most important thing is we'll talk about the remedy. Because every one of these people, now listen, you'll see it in the wording, every one of these folks, and I may not have you turn to all the scripture on it, you'll pardon me if I do that. We've got to be sure that we're done in 25 minutes so everybody can get to lunch, okay? But we want to make sure we see it, but you'll notice something. It says there in Genesis 19 and verse 30. Would you look at that verse with me again, please? I know when we read the verse, you did the same thing Brother Evans just did. Are you sure that's the verse we're going to use this morning? You read it and you thought, is there a sermon in that, Pastor, somewhere? I hope so, because we're starting. Okay, no, look at verse 30. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar. Now look at this statement. And he dwelt in a cave. You know, I'm going to explain to you what dwelling means. He didn't just go to stay there and spend a night. He was going to live there. He'd lost everything in Sodom and Gomorrah. All gone. On the way to the mountains of Zoar, his wife looked over her shoulder when God told her not to. And as I heard a preacher say years ago, God made her a pillar in the community. Turned her into a pillar of salt. He lost children in Sodom. They married Sodomites. And when he told them to up and get out of here, God's going to destroy the place, they laughed at him. They died under the hands of that brimstone God dumped on Sodom and Gomorrah. Plus, he lost everything in Sodom. He lost all his material possessions. All he has left is his two daughters, and he hides in this cave. But he's not just going there to spend a night. He's in thinking he's going to live the rest of his life in the cave. And the truth of the matter is, he disappears from the pages of Scripture here in the Old Testament after this, and he must have lived the rest of his life in a cave of discouragement. Now look at me, friend. Everybody gets discouraged. Nobody better make their living place there. Look at me, friend. We're not supposed to live our life discouraged Christians and always discouraged. So we're going to talk about the caves of discouragement this morning. Now, let's talk about Lot for a moment. He's in a cave in Zoar, outside the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. We know from the scripture, remember Lot was Abraham's nephew. They parted because the herdsmen fought with each other and there was too many of them. And God wanted him to separate. Abraham separated himself from Lot anyway. And Lot went one way. Abraham said, Lot, you go one way, I'll go the other. You go north, I go south. You go east, I'll go west. The Bible says Lot chose the well-watered plains of Sodom. Not only that, but then it says that he pitched his tent towards Sodom. The opening of Lot's tent faced the gate of Sodom. In the place of Sodom and Gomorrah, the word Sodom is where we get the word sodomite today. It was a place of debauchery and unholiness and rampant homosexual sin. But he pitched his tent toward that gate, and every day and night he heard what went on inside that city. Then the Bible says later on, God comes to Abraham and says, I'm going to destroy those cities. And Abraham says, but what about the righteous in Sodom? And God says, okay, if you can, and he went through the number game with him and got it down to 10. Abraham figured Lot, his wife and his children, maybe 10 people. He asked God to spare Sodom for the family of Lot. And they sent angels down to the city to get Lot and get him out of that city. And the Bible says that Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. That's a position of authority and respect. He had gone from pitching his tent towards Sodom to living in Sodom to become a leader in the city. While the rampant wickedness is going on, Lot had become part of what was Sodom and Gomorrah. When the angels come and say, you got to get out of this place, God's going to destroy it. Lot said, no. And it says, while he lingered, they had to literally take him by the hands and his wife and daughters and drag him out of the city. They were going to go down with Sodom. Now he's up in Zoar in a cave. His wife is a pillar of salt. He's lost his children. Everything he owns in Sodom. He has two daughters left and absolutely nothing but the clothes on his back. And he's in a cave in Zoar and he's discouraged. You say, I know what discouraged him, Pastor Johnson. He lost his family. He lost his possessions. He lost everything. No, what discouraged Lot is probably the most common cause of discouragement. Not the only cause, but probably the most common cause of discouragement today, and that is sin. Should have never pitched his tent towards Sodom. should have never went and lived in that city, should have never become a part of that city, should have never lingered in that city, should have never put his heart in that city, should have never given himself over to the wickedness of the place. When the angels came to Lot and they said, "Yep, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy it." He brought him into his home. They came and pounded on the door and said, "Send those men out here that we may know them." They had an unholy desire for these angels, these roving bands of sodomites. What does Lot do? He opens the door and he steps out and he says, "Brethren, brethren, do not so wickedly." He'd come to embrace the lifestyle and the thought. Lot had given himself to the sin of his society and it cost him everything. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to say it one more time. Look at your preacher this morning. Look at me. Sin is not the only reason that people get discouraged, but I find it is a large reason for many people in their discouragement. You know why? Sin robs you of the working of the Holy Spirit in your life. It grieves the Holy Spirit. So that takes away your joy and your strength. That takes away the working of the Holy Spirit in your life. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and gentleness and meekness and faith and temperance and kindness and godliness. All those things that are so important to our life, they are the byproduct of the working of the Holy Spirit. When we sin, we grieve His working and the product's removed. So there is no joy. You cannot bring joy to a Christian in sin. You can't do it. Because there is no peace to the wicked, saith my God. It will bring discouragement. It robs us of the working of the Holy Spirit in our life. It takes away the blessing of God in our life. Does not Lot in a cave with nothing but two daughters and the clothes on his back, does not that show you what happens when sin in its fullness comes and a man loses everything that he owns and it's all gone now? Doesn't it show you how the blessing of God is completely removed from this man's life? Boy, that'll discourage you. Look at me. It's amazing what I've seen Christians going through in their lives over these past years in our economic downturn and the troubles of things that have taken place. Look at me. I've watched Christians go through this and they come through it. They've lost homes. They've lost businesses. They've lost things in their life, material things. And they come out of it with a smile on their face and thankful to God that their salvation is still secure in there and their health is still good if they still have that. And the goodness of God is still there in their life. And they come out of it amazingly, amazingly with the strength of God's grace in their life. And I've watched other Christians throw their hands in the air and say, "What's this all about? How come I lost my business? How come I lost my car? How come I lost my home? I was faithful to God. Where's God in all of this?" And they quit on God. But I also find, ladies and gentlemen, look at me. If we sin, God is going to deal with us about that in our lives. Yes? And when the working of the Holy Spirit is grieved and the blessing of God is removed, look at me. And then the consequences of sin come upon us. You know, that stuff is still true, folks. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. But whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And it says there, if you sow to the Spirit, you're of the Spirit, you'll reap life everlasting. If you sow to the flesh, of the flesh, you'll reap corruption. That means everything just keeps falling apart. And I've watched Christians who will not turn loose of their sin, won't give it up, won't stop doing the things they know they're not supposed to do, won't do the things they know they should. And they continue on that path and they've gone through all the progress and the progression of Lot and Sodom all the way to the cave of Zoar. And then when it's all gone, they say, "Well, I just don't understand this." You know, here's the blessing of Lot in a cave in Zoar. The remedy would have been so simple. Just get right. Look at me. Just turn to God and say, "I'm sorry. I made some choices I shouldn't have made. I took a path I should not have gone. I sowed some seeds I should not have sown. And now I'm reaping some harvest. And Lord, that's mine. I'll own it. But please forgive me." Spirit of God starts working again. Blessing of God returns. God restores and lifts. Listen to me. I say, "Well, it didn't happen overnight." No, it didn't happen overnight. But then we didn't sin overnight either. Now, did we? No, we did not. If there's been years of sin, there has to be a period of time for God to restore things. That's not punishment. People, please understand that today. It's not punishment. It's just the process of sowing and reaping. Months ago, I planted these, I like daffodils and things. Months ago, I planted these daffodil bulbs in some containers out in my backyard, and I've just kind of watched them as they're starting to come up. I've been really busy lately, and frankly, I haven't been out in the backyard in a week and a half or more. I went out there the other day, and there were little nubs in the ground. They're up this tall. Some of them are starting to get heads on them. Pretty soon, they're going to bloom. It's amazing how that, in just a matter of weeks, how that whole process of growth, planting and growing and sowing and reaping, how it takes place. Once again, the leaves are starting, the buds are starting to come on some of the trees. And things are happening, ladies and gentlemen, in the work and creation of God. But it took months to get there. But don't you understand, God's still waiting for us. He's outside the cave. If we put ourselves there because of sin, it's time to get that right now. That's what we must do. Repentance and renewal, rededication. Coming back to the God who loves us and said, I'm sorry, Lord. So it's been too long. You're still alive. You're still breathing. You're still in the cave. But don't live there. If it's sin, you say, how do you know if it's sin, Pastor Johnson? You ask the Holy Spirit of God and be willing to accept his answer. Lot just makes more excuses. Hey, Lot just makes more excuses. And then it gets worse. Then he commits the sin of Sodom with his own daughters. Their idea. They left Sodom, but they didn't leave the thinking of Sodom from their minds. And after Genesis chapter 19, besides a passage in the New Testament that talks about Lot in Sodom, he disappears in the pages of history. I think he spent the rest of his life and lived and died, fathered in two mongrel races that flicked Israel to this very day, and died in a cave of discouragement. You see, because of all he suffered in his life, no, because he wouldn't get it right. But you see, that's the, if there's such a thing as the blessing of the cave of Zoar, it's that repentance and renewal. And rededication fixes that. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, friend, look at me. The God who loved you and gave you the salvation you didn't deserve hasn't given up on you. He's still, by the way, that stuff that happens that drives us to the cave of discouragement because of sin is just God trying to get us to turn it around so we'll come back to him. He wants you. Yes, he does. Second cave of discouragement we find in 2 Samuel 23, verse 13. David is in the cave of Adullam. It says that the Philistines are pitched in the valley there. But David at that point in his life, if you remember, David at that point in his life was running from King Saul. Unjustly persecuted. Unfairly persecuted. By the way, David's cave of discouragement had nothing to do with sin in his life at all. He's hiding in the cave of Adullam. He's there and he'll turn to his mighty men that are with him and he's thinking about his hometown of Bethlehem and how there was this well outside the city gate that had this very refreshing water. And David said, oh, that one would give me to drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem. The Philistines had taken the city. A handful of those mighty men broke through an invading army, brought him a cup of water from that well. David would spend many days in caves in his life. And it says he dwelt in the cave of Adullam. Looked like he was going to make his living there. And he's a discouraged man. But look at me this morning. Had nothing to do with sin. It had to do with circumstances in his life. Say, well, Pastor, now that's not our fault. I mean, if we're trying to do right and live right, we have our problems sometimes. And sometimes it just weighs on you, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Sometimes it's like Job when the Bible says, behold, there came another. And that day with this godly good man, one at a time, these servants come to him and say, the camels are all gone, the mules are all gone, the cattle are all gone, one after another, after another, after another. And then one of the servants comes and says, all your children are dead now. They all died in a storm in their house, their brother's house. They're all gone, one after another, after another, after another. Sometimes the circumstances, they start to pile on top of us, yes? Haven't we learned by now to not say, can't get any worse than this? Huh? Haven't we learned to say, boy, can't get any further down in this in my life? Oh, no, 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 no. Remember Jonah and the whale. All right? You believe Jonah and the whale's in the Bible, don't you? Don't you believe that? Raise your hand. You believe Jonah's in the whale? Right. How many believe that Jonah swallowed the whale? Raise your hand. No, he didn't. It's the other way around. Always do that. Just checking you. Hey, you can't get any lower than that. Swallowed by a whale at the bottom of the ocean. That's about as far down as you're going to go. And Jonah said, in the belly of hell cried I. He said, this is like a hell on earth, separated from God. Sometimes the circumstances just, and they just weigh us down, don't they? He said, well then, preacher, then it's not my fault. It's just the circumstances of life have just, they've broken my heart, discouraged me. And the prospects are no better. David's weren't either in the cave of Adullam. The Philistines are pitched in the valley below him, and if they don't kill him, Saul will. He doesn't have anywhere to go. He tried to give himself to the Philistines at Gath, and they sent him away. Saul will kill him if he goes back home. He's lost his family. He's living in a cave. And all he can think of is his childhood memories, and I'd like a drink from a well. And those guys broke to the army and gave him a drink of water, and he poured it out on the ground and said, I can't drink. This is the life of men have hazarded themselves for us. He couldn't even get encouragement out of a sip of water from a well because the circumstances of life would weigh him down. Now look at me. You have to understand something, Christian. You're going to make your tent in the cave of discouragement if you give yourself the excuse that it's not your fault, it's just life. It's not about fault. If it's sin that puts us in a cave, that's one thing. That's my choice. If it's circumstances beyond my control, don't you understand what this means? Look at me, friend. Do you spend any time in the book of Psalms at all? Those middle Psalms, not the middle ones, but the ones in the 30s, the Psalm 30, 31, 32, and 33. It's amazing how David speaks about being a broken vessel, having a broken heart. All those were written from the caves, all of them. And David's there in a cave. He says, but you know, but the Lord will restore me. And I will seek unto the Lord. And what he does, ladies and gentlemen, is he doesn't let the circumstances of his life weigh him down and break his heart and crush him out. What he does is he said, but I'm going to trust the Lord to bring me up out of this thing. When the cave of discouragement comes because of the circumstances of life, you need to get a hold of God and hang on to God, friend. So, well, I tried that and it doesn't work. I don't know what to tell you now. I don't know what to say because I've been to those caves before. These, the one I mentioned earlier about, I'm hoping we will get to go to all of the old buildings we were in over these years. But I drive by those old buildings. They hold a lot of memories for me. And it's amazing what memories you do recall when you drive by an old church building and you remember the battles and the things that happened and the victories that God brought. It's amazing what comes to mind. And I think to myself, but if I just gave God time, he always managed to come through and to help us and to bring strength and encouragement. Hey, young people, stop right back there, would you? There we go. Stay with Mom. And to bring encouragement and strength and to bring us through. I found something out, ladies and gentlemen. When the circumstances of life weigh on you, here's what you need. Number one, you need to be ready for the fact that stuff is going to happen. You don't prepare in the moment for circumstances. You prepared for them to come before they came. Look at me. Back when things were good and God's blessings were right, that's when you need to be reading your Bible, walking with God, and getting the Holy Spirit helping you and strengthening you in your life. In preparation for that. Remember Daniel? How he was taken there to captivity, and when they made the law that you couldn't pray to anybody but the king, and Daniel didn't obey the law because it was specifically guided at him, and how that Daniel went ahead and prayed anyhow because he prayed 7 times a day. And they made the law just to get him because he did that, but he was doing that every day. When they came and said, Daniel, we're going to have to throw you in the lion's den, the king who loved Daniel said, Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will be able to deliver thee. Daniel was ready for the lion's den. He didn't get ready while he was dropped in there. He was prepared before it came. Oftentimes, circumstances in life overwhelm us because we're just not spiritually walking with the Lord and having his control in our life. And we get spiritually bankrupt, and then things weigh on us, and we've got nothing to hold us up. But you know what? Listen now, listen. Even sometimes in a faithful Christian's walk with God, like Job, we estimate there was 3 to 4 years of Job went through all that he suffered and lost. Toward the end of it, it started to wear him out a bit. You get sort of tapped out. You get weary in the battle and sometimes even of it. Now listen to me. And that's the time when you simplify your life and you get a hold of your God and trust Him to give you grace and mercy. You don't have to have deliverance even. You just need grace for that day. That's all you need. And there is grace sufficient for every need. There are mercies new every morning. You go to Him and you seek your God. And that's how you get out of the cave of discouragement brought on by circumstances. The last of the three caves is the great prophet Elijah. 1 Kings chapter 19. Turn there with me, would you please? 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse number 9. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse number 9. Elijah has gone to the great Mount Carmel and had the great contest with the local ecumenical society. 650 false prophets against one little hairy Baptist preacher. See, how do you know he's a Baptist? I don't know, it just sounds good. Elijah was there standing against all of them. There's Ahab and Jezebel, the wicked king and queen. They're all of Israel's turned against God, and Elijah goes up on Mount Carmel, calls down a contest, and God wins and victory comes. That's 1 Kings 17, 1 Kings 19. The Bible says Elijah had to run. Jezebel comes to him and says, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. You killed all my prophets, I'm going to get you. This man could stand against a king, an empire, and 650 prophets, but couldn't resist, he feared one woman. And he runs from her to the cave. And there in this cave in Oreb, Elijah pitches the tent. Look at 1 Kings chapter 19, look at verse 9. And he rose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Oreb, the mount of God. And he came hither, verse 9, unto a cave and lodged there. Lodged means made his dwelling place there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, you poor man, you're not in touch with your inner child. You don't understand your feminine side. Call Dr. Phil. God comes to him and says, what are you doing here? I love it. What doest thou here, Elijah? Now listen to me. He could stand and have a victory. And by the way, oftentimes after victories in your life, Satan will raise opposition to try to discourage you after victories. Be very careful now. But he didn't need to run. He could stand against the king and the nation and all these prophets. He could stand there. God would protect him from the wicked intent of Jezebel. But instead of standing and staying, he retreats. And in retreating, he winds up in a cave of discouragement. The cave of Horeb is the cave of retreating. Nothing's going to discourage you like backing up when you ought to be going forward. Yeah, here's what happens to us today. We become winos. You mean addicted to drink? No, we whine all the time. Well, I don't understand. I don't understand. See, preacher, you're not very sympathetic. Oh, I'm very sympathetic. You ever wonder who a preacher gets to whine to? How would you like it if one day you met me and said, preacher, how's it going? I really told you how it was going. Well, actually, I'm in my office. I had a preacher friend call me. He said, how's it going, Brother Johnson? I said, well, I'm standing on a chair. I got a rope up over the rafters right now, and I'm just about to jump off. Well, just before you do, could I ask you this question? I said, well, if I start gagging, forgive me if I don't get the answer out, okay? Who does a preacher get to whine to? Who do I get to tell you when my heart's broken or when I'm going through a struggle or a battle? And don't feel sorry for me. It's okay because I got someone I can talk to. Oh, yes. But the worst thing that you can do is let the whining cause you to put the Christian transmission in reverse and you start backing up. Well, I'm so discouraged right now, I just can't go to church. That's like saying I'm too sick to go to the hospital. I'm too hungry to go to Hometown Buffet. Oh, doesn't that sound good? I'm too thirsty to take a drink of water. Or people who tell me, I'm so tired I can't sleep. I don't understand that one. I'm so tired I can't stay awake. That's what my problem is. Sleeping's not the issue. I get 10 toes toward heaven. I'm gone. Now, I don't get that one. I'm so broke I can't work. Well, then there's a bunch of people like that. But the truth is, when you think about it, well, I've been so discouraged, I don't know, I just don't even spend any time in the Bible anymore. Do you know what you're saying? Do you realize, listen to me, Do you realize you've just created a vacuum in that cave of discouragement that's going to pull you down like you cannot believe? Oh, well, you know, I'd like to, but see, I got this thing and my aunt died 6 years ago and I don't know what to do. You know, okay, I'm sorry for the loss of loved ones, and I'm sorry for difficulties, and I'm sorry for troubles and trials, and I'm sorry for valleys and dark midnights, and I'm sorry that battles come up, and I'm sorry that there's struggles in life, but I know this, you got to go forward. Discouragement comes when we retreat from the things of God. The battle's bad. That's why God told Elijah, what are you doing in the cave? This is not the place, son. The battle's back there. Go on back where I told you to go. And Elijah was saying, well, there's nobody left but me, and I don't know what I'm going to do in that way. And the Bible says, a great wind came and just tore the earth up, but the Lord was not in the wind. Then God shook the ground with an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And then a fire roared by and consumed everything in its path, but God was not in the fire. Earth, wind, and fire. That's the 70s. And then after everything calmed down, listen, the Bible said, then there came a still small voice. And that voice said, I'm going to ask you again, what are you doing here? Get back to where you're supposed to be, Elijah. God's remedy was no more retreating. Forward now. Get back where you're supposed to go. Do what you're supposed to do as a Christian. Elijah, what I told you to do, there it is. You say, well, that's awful difficult. I know it is. I know it is. I know that sometimes it's all you can do to put one foot in front of the other one. I know it is. I know it. There's times when you take your Bible and you look at it and you say, Lord God in heaven, I'm sorry, but I'm struggling so bad that I might just get a chapter out of the book today. A chapter's a chapter. Maybe all you can do is throw yourself on the ground before God and say, dear God, I'm sorry to be selfish, but I need you to help me today. But I'm not going to quit on you, God. I'm not going to turn my back on you. I'm not going to walk off on the things of God. I'm not going to walk off on my family. I'm not going to walk off on my responsibilities. I'm not going to walk off on the things of God. I'm not going to quit church. I'm going to keep on doing what I'm supposed to do. Elijah left the cave of discouragement. He didn't take it with him. He's going to live there. But God says, you got no business staying here. Come on, Elijah. What are you doing here? Elijah, Elijah, stop retreating and get back where you're supposed to go. Now, Christian, you look at me this morning. I know we think that our issues today are so complex and they're so complicated because of things. Truth is, issues get more complicated, been getting complicated for God's people for centuries because of sin and circumstances and retreat. Those things will lead us to discouragement, but do not stay there. It's a natural condition of the human condition that we get discouraged. Okay? It's an old joke, but it's a good one. Lady wakes her husband up Sunday morning, says, time to go to church. And he goes, I'm not going. She says, well, you got to go to church. He goes, no, I don't. I don't want to go. Nobody down there likes me. Nobody down there is nice to me. I don't want to go. She said, but honey, you got to go to church. You're the pastor. There's times I wish we had a back door to this thing back here where I could just come in, walk in here and preach and go right out that back door, get in my car and go home. Now, that's right. I've been discouraged. Sure I have. Hear me. Hear me, Christian. But times of discouragement is where we make really bad choices in life and make bad decisions. By the way, never make an important life decision in a time of discouragement. You just hang on till God lifts the floor. Then you make big decisions. So please don't feel like because you've ever been discouraged or maybe you're there today. You're just kind of a lesser person because of it. Human condition. It is not the issue of being discouraged that's the problem. It's the issue of making our dwelling there. If it's sin, you get right. If it's circumstances, it shows that you need to get your spiritual life jacked up and hold on to your God. And if it's retreat, then you need to turn it around and get back to where you're supposed to be, doing the things that you're supposed to do. You say, then the discouraging circumstances will go away. Didn't say that. All I know is this. You can wear out the devil, ladies and gentlemen. You can wear him out by just staying faithful to God. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, the Bible says. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. There's God sufficient for all this, you know. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning, would you?